From Helensburg to Ulla Dulla, Barrel to Wollongong. This is ABC Illawarra.
What is Australia talking about nuclear energy, though? Well, the state government report released last week has made a recommendation to lift the ban on generating nuclear energy. The New South Wales Productivity Commission says the state government should not support ongoing prohibition of a potential source of firming capacity, which is something we talk about a lot when we talk about moving away from fossil fuels, is having that that capacity there, subject to safety concerns being addressed, which is always mentioned when we talk about nuclear energy. Those safety concerns could be a small issue, according to the research of my next guest, and the cost of transmitting the power gets higher when you add more wind turbines into the system. Well, Robert Parker, a Berrima resident and the Vice President of the Australian Nuclear Association, joins us now. Hello, Robert.
Good to speak with you, Lindsay.
What do you make of this recommendation to lift the ban on nuclear energy generation in New South Wales?
Very supportive of it, because we do need to be looking at all our options for a low-carbon future, and nuclear power has certainly got the runs on the board. We've only got to look at France each day. They're churning out in their electrical energy with about 12 to 20 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour, and here we are in Australia, up around 800, about 40 times worse. So we have to keep this one definitely on the board.
When you talk about the carbon being so much lower, there still is other issues when it comes to waste, and many projects, nuclear projects, have been unable to solve the problem of waste when it comes to nuclear.
I really think this issue of unable to solve the problem is a bit of a furphy.
Okay.
In fact, we have very good technical ways of resolving what I would call first-pass fuel. And that might sound like a bit of wordsmithing going on there. But what I'm getting at is that in our current nuclear reactors, we only use about 2% of the potential nuclear energy of that fuel. The rest of it can be reused. And what they're doing, for example, in France, is they give it one or two recycles back through the reactor. Oh. That reduces that long-term material to about a quarter of what it started. So they get that amount of long-term material down quite low.
So running the uranium back through the reactor?
Correct. Right. The uranium, the plutonium, mm-hmm. back through. They re-blend it and put that back as new fuel back into the reactors and keep blending that back down. And so they reduce the amount of long-term heavy metal. The material that people worry about that's got half-lives of 24,000 years, they get that down to about a quarter of what would be if it was a first-pass product. But then we've got a really good way of burning all of that stuff, all of that other long-lived stuff, the final bit, in what we call Generation 4 fast reactors. And these are not something fictitious. We've got those operating in the world now. They're going in Russia as we speak. BN-800 is burning that type of material. And really, nations such as the United Kingdom, France, China and Japan always looked at what we call closing the nuclear fuel cycle, so we don't get large amounts of this long-lived waste. We'll get some short-lived, and by short, it's not short on human life, but about 300 years, and that's the fission products, the stuff we get when the uranium and plutonium nucleus is split, and that stuff is radioactive for about 300 years. But we can handle that much more readily.
What about these small modular reactors? We've heard about them over the last few years. How do they compare to the large-scale reactors in terms of cost and construction time and how they deliver what they're supposed to?
Okay. For a country like Australia, they're a very good solution because we have got a huge grid in terms of its length, but delicate in terms of the amount of power that it can actually take. And so if we use small nuclear power plants in Australia, and that is less than 300 megawatts, we could rebuild those. We could put them into the sites that we've got our current large coal-fired power plants, which are due to retire. The benefit of that, of course, is we use our existing grid. we don't need to build a lot of extra grid. And what a lot of people are not aware of when they look at their electricity bill, that only about a third of their bill is made up of the generator, and about two-thirds of their bill is the grid and the distribution system and the retail and the ancillary services. So it doesn't make a lot of sense if we save $1 on our generator but waste two or three more by building an extensive distribution and transmission system. And that's what we do when we build a lot of wind and solar.
Well, this is, I mean, I guess when the Productivity Commission says that these modular reactors, which you're saying could be put in the same places as the closing down coal generating, they would be used to firm up baseload power and fill the gap when renewables aren't generating, as people like to say, when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining. But what about batteries? Why couldn't we just use a big battery to fill that gap? Batteries are, you know, the technology of batteries is advancing exponentially.
Okay, because the cost of batteries plus the renewables is more expense, plus the additional transmission. So there's the three bits we've got to take account of. It's the renewables, plus the batteries or pump storage, plus the transmission. All three of those bits is more expensive than putting in the small nuclear power plants. And so if we want to keep our costs down and be certain of our long-term emission reductions, the nuclear plants can do that very reliably. And the beauty is, of course, they're a proven product. We see it in France every day.
You've been talking about this for a while, former president of the Australian Nuclear Association. How are you feeling about this latest tilt towards nuclear from the Productivity Commission?
I believe that it's a very good tilt, because what they're really asking is that the legislation that prevents us building nuclear in Australia, they're asking for that to be wound back so that Australia can properly do the economic evaluations, so that we can get on the table. I would hope we could do it, for example, with our Commonwealth cousins in Canada, in Ontario. I mean, the people in Ontario, they're paying less than half the cost for their electricity that we're doing in Australia. And they get all their electricity, of course, out of nuclear plus hydro. And we could partner up with them, learn their technology and bring it to Australia and be a meeting of equals. And I think that would be a great solution.
All right. Well, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Cheers, Robert.
Thanks for your time, Lindsay. And hope the listeners enjoyed it. Thank you.
On ABC Illawarra, Robert Parkett there speaking about the Productivity Commission's suggestion to reduce, lift the ban on nuclear energy generation. He is the former president of the Australian Nuclear Association and the founder of Nuclear for Climate Australia. You're listening to ABC Illawarra.